Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Luke Hancock. Here on a Tuesday, heads up again to everybody. Louisville baseball at 5 o'clock today, so we're going to be out at 5 for first pitch of that one. Also want to remind you about our friends at the Fitness Market. They've got the in-home saunas, $17.99 for those. Drew cannot stop raving about them, and I believe him on it. He's picky about what he loves, and that's one of those things that he obviously loves. And you've heard everyone talk about what they've done for them. They've done the gyms at Spalding and at Trinity, and you've heard the commercial with Scotty D and what they did with Bellarmine there as well. And I have lived in three different places and taken that rower that I got from them with me. It's near and dear to me. So check them out, fitnessmarket.com. They are great, and they've got the big showroom there on Waterston Trail and Plantside Drive as well. And they, Chris and Pat, they will take care of you. They do a great job.
My only 2 cents to add is the bike that I got. Having played for Rick Pitino, I thought I would never do any level of cardio ever again.
Like you did a lifetime's worth already?
Exactly. I'd still like to go lift at the gym. It's just kind of a mental refresh for me. But I'm not running sprints anymore. I'm not doing suicide 16, 17s, none of that stuff. So the bike has been so good for me. And Pat and Chris hooked me up as well. Something that my wife and I use often. It's been like a lifesaver for us. Lifesaver for us.
Luke, we've learned now today that in addition to Brandon Hunley Hatfield going to NC State, that Louisville going to face Mike James at NC State as well. I suppose you can look at this two ways if you're an NC State fan. One, why are we taking these players from a team that stinks, right? Yeah, and we're taking two players that sting. We just came a Final Four. We can't do better than this. Or you can look at it like, who in the world am I to question Kevin Keats after that? If he thinks that it'll work, it'll work. What do you think about having to face both Mike James and Brandon Hunley Hatfield at NC State next year?
Well, first off, personally, the guys that I thought would be able to translate, go to different schools and be really successful, I've always liked Mike James. I've kind of been in that stance from the beginning. Chris Mack was the first guy after I saw Mike. Always loved him. And we got to talk after the first time I saw Mike play. And I went to Chris and I was like, man, that kid is going to be good. And then got rave reviews from Coach Mack. And then Brandon Hunley Hatfield is another one. He's big. He's strong. Can defend, you know, the biggest in the ACC. I think he'll take a jump there. And then I think Sky Clark's going to do well with his next step in his college career. Some of the other guys, I didn't think they did all the little things the caliber that I would like, just the aesthetic, you know, watching the game the way I do. Those guys didn't jump off the page to me. But I think him picking up Mike James and Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I think they're going to do well down there. And I don't know, you're close enough where you can kind of see, like, all right, maybe Kenny Payne didn't give these guys enough confidence in the game plan. So if I give these guys confidence, they're going to do well in my system. It's what we were talking about earlier. If there are guys you're going to go after from this Louisville roster, I think he could have gotten the top two, at least two of the top three in my eyes. So I think they're going to do well. And Keats, again, has the background from Hargrave Military Academy days of flipping a roster every single year. You know, it's rare you even have guys stay for 2 years. It does happen, but it's rare. So he's familiar with this. And they got a buzz about him right now, man. They're, you know, going to the Final Four and, you know, all the celebratory stuff that's going on right now for them, you got to capitalize. So I think I like both those pieces, and I think it'll be really interesting when the two red and black teams go against each other, and all the history there will be really fun to watch.
Yeah, this is, without question, I think, the new normal. You're going to face your old teammates. You're going to face players that played for your team almost inevitably now. So Louisville's going to face at least two of those guys for NC State. Look, I think that I understand the pitch and the appeal of Hatfield because, look, the number of places that really thrive and are willing to try and be a team that plays with a big man with his back to the basket and that sort of thing, it's less than it used to be. Right? Like, it is. It's sort of like a pro-style offenses in college on the football side. Like, there aren't that many. And so when you find it, if that's what you fit, I understand the appeal there. I've never thought Mike James was a great player, but I would love to have him on my team.
I think I probably got you higher on him, just some of my comments and then talking to you about, you know, Chris Mack, how he felt about him. You know, he plays hard. He mostly keeps his head down. I go back to how much confidence you have.
Yeah.
And I have not been in the locker room that wasn't confident. I'm very blessed. I got to play for Jim Larrañaga and Rick Pitino in college. And one thing I'll say is you knew what your game plan was offensively and defensively. You had confidence in it because of your preparation, because of the work that you put in. I don't know if they've had that level of confidence the last 2 years. You know, this is a new system. We got surprised by this. We got, you know, just like crazy stuff. Where now Kevin Keats is going to have those guys at least confident in what they're supposed to do. So I do expect a big jump going to NC State. And again, I think you got two of the top three. If you're going to go look at Louisville and say, all right, most of those guys are going to leave, who can I get? You did really well if you're Kevin Keats.
Yeah, I think Mike James might be the ultimate guy that I looked at. Like, I don't know how much was him and how much was around him. And, you know, like, you can be a hardworking player, but like eventually, if you know, like, the guy next to you just doesn't care, it's gonna be really hard to sort of keep your head down all the time. And maybe he'll thrive there. Maybe he'll thrive in an environment under a different coach with expectations around them. You know, look, I would imagine Kevin Keats, you can't tell him anything right now, right?
I mean, what he's touching right now is turning to gold. Mike James is a guy who averaged 12.5, 5 rebounds, and an assist and a half. You know, shooting 35% from three, 40% from two. Like, I just expect all those numbers to improve a little bit. He'll gain a little bit more confidence, especially shooting the basketball. And who knows? I mean, he's big enough. He's strong enough. I think he's got a good attitude. It just being in that winning environment, knowing what you're supposed to do. I don't know, man. I know you're not quite as high on him. We've talked about it, but I think he's going to go on and have a really good career, and I think he's going to be able to take off.
8150-939. That is the number if you would like to get in here. 3831-939 for the UPS Jobs text line. I could not help but laugh at Rick Bozich tweeting yesterday that Knox going to Arkansas was Kenny Payne's first recruit at Arkansas.
Is that how that works? Are you allowed to even say that?
That's what Rick Bozich can say that.
Yeah. Yeah, nice pickup. You know, like you said, him being able to take a lot of those recruits to Arkansas. We'll see what happens. A lot of people have kind of hated on some of the guys for maybe being more connected with Cal than the University of Kentucky. But you think about how long they're there. Not very long. before they're off to the pros. So I could see a lot of those guys kind of allegiance following Cal. I think if the players are going to do that, they used to be there, and then they still vouch for Cal, and it's him, and he's the one that's going to make you successful, the recruits are going to follow. They're going to listen to that.
Are you surprised that it doesn't look like any of them are going to go to Arkansas, any of Louisville's players?
No. No, I'm not. No,
you want to explain that?
I think Kenny feels like he didn't have the tools to recruit good enough players to the University of Louisville, and so now he's going to go get those prized one-and-dones and five-stars and McDonald's All-Americans and see what happens at Arkansas. But, you know, I have a different opinion, and I see roster construction and certainly looking at the Final Four the last 2 years and thinking, man, young guys did not win. So I would go a little bit of a different route. You know, for example, Pat Kelsey, going to give veterans, guys that are efficient, guys who fill in the gaps. Guys, I wanted to bring this up, too, about Corin Johnson.
Okay.
Right? So I'll tell a little story real quick. I'm talking to Steve Forbes, and I'm talking to him about picking up Hunter Salas. Gonzaga didn't blow you away with his numbers, but he got in the game. There were some flashes there and was certainly a big-time player coming into Gonzaga. He transfers. They go on this recruiting visit, and they go to Spokane, and Steve Forbes tells me he just kind of casually asked about Efton Reed. And that it was almost like, yeah, that's my boy. You should go talk to him. And that is how it came together, to get Hunter Salas and Efton Reed, who ended up being a huge impact for Wake Forest through the year. I mean, he's 7'1", and he's 250 pounds, right? So that's how some of this recruiting stuff happens. And this, I'm not correlating this, but the story kind of aligns here. So you pick up a guy like Corin Johnson from Washington, and you're able to look at a guy like Wesley Yates, who redshirted last year, who's a four-star, top 50 player. If you could get him as kind of a, not a package deal, but you're on that recruiting visit, you get to talk to another kid, whatever, those kind of pieces to the puzzle can be so impactful. Wesley Yates, 6'4", redshirted last year. If you use that redshirt the right way and you are a guy who played at a big-time high school, you averaged 20-5, you know, you had good shooting splits, but now your body's matured and a coach like Pat Kelsey can make this kind of a package deal as far as these two guys coming together, but see somebody off the radar that can add depth, that can fit your style, you know, 6'4", can guard multiple positions, those kind of things. Man, those can really elevate your team. And I look back at Steve Forbes and what he's done in the portal. Sometimes these gets, they're not like, hey, we went in there and offered him a ton of money. It was just right place, right time, and you get those pieces to come. So hopefully there's a little magic happening there too.
Yeah, I think about the wisdom in trying to sort of balance this across classes too, right? Like, this is a freshman or a redshirt freshman,
I guess. You even got to worry about that anymore?
From at least from 1 year to the next, yeah. Beyond that, no. You're right. I understand what you're saying and saying that, but like, if you can bring in some guys that are freshmen and sophomores and maybe just get 2 years from them, that's probably the longest you should responsibly cast out anybody, right?
Probably. I mean, it's probably person by person, but again, nothing would surprise me. So even if you feel like you've got a great relationship with a kid, if there's an agent involved and, you know, people can get in behind the scenes and start having conversations you don't know about, which they can really no matter what you do with how accessible these kids are with social media and stuff, you know, I just wouldn't be surprised about anyone. But to your point, this is probably a guy who's going to be a little bit more accepting of a role if you've got, you know, fourth and fifth year guys and he's, you know, playing his first college basketball minutes. Yeah, maybe he comes off the bench and gives you a different dynamic and accepts that role. That's really tough. A lot easier said than done. It's why I give a ton of credit to Hubert Davis. The Caleb Love, RJ Davis, Love Triangle, whatever you want to say was going on there, whatever the animosity was, to get a guy who ends up being player of the year in the conference, leaves to go to Arizona, then RJ elevates his play to be player of the year in the ACC. Both guys do well. Both teams do incredibly well. That just shows you how important those locker room dynamics are. And from year in to year out, you know, Brady Manek in them versus Pete Nance in them, totally different locker room dynamics. You know, one team makes the national championship game, the other team starts as the one seed and doesn't make the NCAA tournament. Then you bring in, you know, Ingram and you bring in Cormac Ryan. You know, taking your time on a lot of these pieces, getting the right guys and the right fit, it's really tough to do, especially because the portal seems like, oh, we got to get in there and grab that guy and spend the most money and hurry up and get this done. But that's not how you build a championship culture in a locker room.
8150-939. That is the number if you'd like to get in here. 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. So lots of movement, lots of reporting here. Jaden Quaintance, who Louisville still sort of remains after, not going to Kentucky now, at least at this point. Not going to Arkansas, not going to follow Cal to Arkansas. Kentucky's still in the mix-up for him. I think he's going to visit Memphis this weekend. He's visited here, but that's at least still out there. Wesley Yates, I think Jeff Leitze dug up. He's tweeting some pictures from a visit being here on campus. He redshirted. Didn't play this year for Washington, but was a top 50 recruit, 6'4"-ish, shooting guard, pretty athletic kid, was pretty highly rated, you know, lots of good offers. Just didn't get to see him play last year, I think would be a welcome addition.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. His cousin's actually Quincy Poindexter, who I played with for a minute in Memphis, was a do-it-all guy. Could shoot it, could score, could guard multiple positions. He seemed like a veteran, even though he hadn't been in the league for that long. But, you know, if you're recruited by the Gonzagas and Baylors and Memphis and Auburn, you're in rare air going in. But as a guy who I had to spend most of my redshirt year injured, unfortunately, but – if you're able to use that and you're not battling injuries, you know, these freshmen can come in and put on 25 pounds and just look like a completely different person and player because you're not focused on the game plan as much as you are. How can I, as an individual, get better? That can be really good to use that year the right way. Red shirts are kind of like the transfers now. It used to be looked at as a negative, oh, he's not ready to play. But depending on why and how and the whole situation, I mean, this could just be a really smart move for Wesley Yates.
I think that would be a welcome addition as well here. On the football side, it's been an eventful day and not in a great way. It looks like Tyler Barron and Wesley Walker, the two Tennessee players that came in, are both getting shipping right back out in what is becoming a miserable trend really across the country in terms of guys going to someplace for a spring, for a semester, and like, yeah, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I mean, the player, I would just look at today, Kentucky, a four-star corner, like who was like the star of the spring game, out. He's out of there. And now Penny Boone, who we are all certainly aware of at this point, it was reported he's down to Georgia and Kentucky, and the very, very immediate reporting afterwards was that Georgia was unaware they were a finalist. So you kind of can figure out where this might be going. And so might get to see Penny Boone. After all, he'll just be playing for Kentucky, and I just say, good riddance.
You got to change. Something's got to change. This part right here, I don't think anybody's going to like. You commit to a school in early spring and you leave in late spring before things even really get going. Nobody's going to like that. So I think you sign with a school, you got to sign for a year. And the expectation is you're going to be there. If you get out of that, you know, maybe it's like a semester thing where you've given up half your season of eligibility, something. But – you know, you're not supposed to have – you'll understand what I mean by this. You're not supposed to have a great day every day.
Yeah.
As a young college player, especially trying to get ingrained in a new system. Like, winning is hard. Sports are hard. It's not participation trophy stuff. Like, you're competing at a high level against other guys who are, you know, playing like their hair's on fire, their life is on the line. So you're going to have good days and bad days. With this being so accessible, it makes it so those bad days – let me just take the easy way out and get on out of here. And I'm not even saying that that is what the situation was in this case, but I don't think anybody's going to like this situation. I think this is going to be one of those dominoes that, hey, we got to change this sooner rather than later.
This might be a good reminder that there's more to it maybe than just NIL. But like, it sure looks to me like three of the guys that came in this spring were here for the money and left. And they didn't like it. And I wonder if we don't see Jeff Brohm to switch it up just a little bit. Like, look, I want the NIL. We need it. You have to have it to be competitive. But do you want your money whipped, guys?
It depends. It depends. It depends on who.
You roll the dice on them anyway?
Well, I'd like to know, like, are they all represented by themselves? Are they all represented by the same person? You know, what the situation is. Because, like, let's say we find out they're all represented by the same person. You're going to know.
Just not deal with that dude anymore.
Yeah, there's you're going to know there's something going on. And, I go back to it. Like, these agents, they want to get paid, too. You know, their incentive is not directly aligned with the best interest of the student-athlete. That's pretty obvious. So I think there are some details that will come out, but to leave that quick and then all the rumblings we kind of heard last couple weeks, I just feel like there's something else going on. I'd like to know who represented those guys and just more details on the situation. And Jeff Brohm doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to go out there and say, yeah, these guys weren't working hard enough or whatever. He's going to say, you know, wrong fit, let's move along kind of thing. Probably on both sides, he would say. But I don't know. It seems like there's something else going on.
It certainly does. And this is, I think, a learning experience for everybody. And you can be like, what's going on? Look, it's not great, but this really is happening all over the place. Guys go signing somewhere in December, go through spring ball, don't like how it went, they're right back out the door. We seem to have overcorrected and just created other issues instead of solving any issues.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you've seen like all of the coaches that have left. Really, college basketball has been probably the most obvious, but the Nick Sabans, right, they've left too. Just being able to coach these kids really hard. I understand, like, maybe that's not the best thing, but to some level, discipline and accountability and all those little things, like they help young student athletes in life and in this game, whatever you're playing, football, basketball, doesn't matter. So I don't know. The way things are rolling now, it's too easy for these kids to like, I didn't like this. I'm just going somewhere else. Somebody's going to tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah, look, Richard Pitino tweeted a couple of days ago, 9 more days so I can be meeting my players again.
I saw that.
And I laughed, but like, yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
It is. It totally is. Like, you know, the portal closing up means coaches can really get going, I guess. Like, it's a terrible way to look at it. But at the same time, like, especially early on in your season here, you're trying to set ground rules. You're trying to let these kids know expectations, how you're going to be when adversity is really going. It's almost impossible to do now.
Update here as we're talking about transfer portal news here. Utah State transfer big man Great Osabor has scheduled the following official visits: Kentucky, Louisville, Texas Tech, Washington. That's the big guy you're talking about. 6'8", strong.
Beastly rebounder.
Love that name, too.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I think maybe the single most encouraging thing is seeing Louisville on all the right lists again and sticking their faces in every one of these battles here for this.
Wouldn't you like to know, like, what that entails, though? Like,
how so?
I can't – if he just says, all right, agent, I want to make $1 million, and the agent kind of – or he puts his name in the portal, and the agent starts fielding offers, and he's like, okay, these four teams said that they could do $1 million. They got to do more due diligence, but let's start with a visit kind of thing. And you're on the list. Like, that doesn't necessarily excite me that you have the payroll to be in the conversation, but it's certainly better than not being on the list, right?
Yeah, well, you're not going to get anybody who you're not on the list. Although, March 23rd, Corin Johnson tweeted out a list of 5 schools. Louisville was not on it.
There you go. So,
doesn't all necessarily guarantee that you're out of it, but it's good to be in it. And that's I think that's the big man you're talking about.
Who was the transfer from San Francisco a while back that like put a list out? We weren't on the list, and then we got him like a week later.
Charles Menlin.
Menlin, yes, that's another one that I was thinking of. It's like, yeah, just because they put a list out, I mean, it's not binding at all. You know how it is.
It is not binding, and I guess the texter earlier who said I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I really hate kids that put I've narrowed down my list, and it's like 50 schools. It's like 20 schools. Yeah. No, that's not narrowing down your list. So I guess it is good. If you've got 5 for Louisville to even be considered there, you're doing good. All good things. You're probably right.
You know, a texture does bring up a decent point that's worth thinking about at least. These recruits, like, you guys have got to think about killing the golden goose here. You're getting money from collectives. for NIL, you cannot get anyone to give consistently to these collectives for you if you're all just going to bounce every couple months. Like, you got to think about the long term here. Like, in what universe are people going to continue to give to collectives everywhere if there's no guarantees, no incentives, nothing that will keep anybody anywhere? Like, it's not going to last. People's going to be like, no, I can't. I'm not doing that. It won't.
I agree. It's why I said, you know, it's important to get this jump that Pat Kelsey has. It's important to capitalize on the buzz, because I would think now is when you could get more. You know, like, Mark Ennis, if you're deciding if you want to make a donation to NIL, and I say, listen, Osabor is ours if we get $1 million. We've got another guy already locked in. We've got the money over there. We need $1 million more to make this work. We need you to step up, and our roster goes from a B-minus to a strong A, and we're in great shape here. A couple more pieces that can be some guys coming off the bench, and our team is totally done. We got Chucky in the works. Now we need this one done. You have a direct impact on the program. Now, it's tougher with football because there's a ton of guys, but I think being able to sell it after you've already got some momentum going and your sell to that booster is, we're good right now. Help us be great. I think they start writing checks. To your point, like, if guys are moving every year, you got 10 new guys every year, it's a lot tougher to say, hey, you're making this impact on the program that's going to last, right? You know, like Memphis, for example, I know they just got the big FedEx donation. They said $25 million going to NIL. That's across all sports from what I know. But that's a big plus. At the same time, you're getting 9 or 10 new guys every year. It's got to be tough to sell the alums on, hey, we're going to keep building this thing. Because they know also, like, all right, I give $1 million. What's going to happen next year? Hey, man, we need $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Right? It's just going to keep going.
So Jeff Goodman is reporting that Great Osabor will be in Louisville May 1st through the 3rd. Does Pat Kelsey take him to Oaks?
He better. He better.
Pat Kelsey's ass in a sling if he doesn't.
Come on now. You got to use it all. I would be expecting that to be a big recruiting weekend. See him walking the red carpet for Oaks Day with Pat Kelsey. That's what I would do. And then I would be hitting up my guys from Valhalla. There's a new ownership group that's a bunch of Louisville guys. I'd be saying, 2 weeks after Derby or a week and a half or whatever it is, we need some guys to come in town that are big recruits to show off our city, what comes here, the big events, and take them to the PGA as well.
Let's go ahead and take our last break here, and we'll come back. One more segment to go before UofL baseball.
Was I emphatic enough that yes should be the answer for him to be at Oaks?
Yeah. Also, I wanted to add, you were saying, like, what are you going to do if – what would you do if, you know, they call, hey, Mark, we need $1 million. We can get this kid. I would be extremely worried if anyone ever called me thinking they could find $1 million.
It's on you, buddy.
We are SOL if that happens. We'll be right back here on The Drive on iThunderbill.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Luke Hancock here. 8150-939, that is the number if you'd like to get in here. 38-31-939. Again, we're going to be out at 5 today for UofL baseball. The first pitch moved up there. Watching the dominoes here, or just sort of the musical chairs, or whatever you want to call it. But Jaden Quaintance, now Matt Jones just tweeted that he's not Kentucky's not going to visit with Jaden Quaintance tonight.
You think that's directly related to the pickup today?
Probably not unrelated.
I would think. You know, you're going with a veteran guy who's going to play a ton of minutes. I mean, I like Amari Williams, three-time conference defensive player of the year. And, again, you look at the top 100 freshmen and you look at the top 100 transfers, the production will be so dramatically skewed to the transfers and the veteran guys in a huge way. So that's where you got to prioritize it, but there still are a ton of freshmen out there making huge impacts. And Quaintance, to me, again, I watched highlights of him. I don't put many guys in the Montrezl Harrell bucket, but he's got some of those tools and the motor, how long his arms are. You know, if he gets meaner in terms of, like, when Montrezl dunked it, he was trying to take the rim off every time. This guy has a little bit of that in him, but you could see as he gets stronger, able to take contact a little bit better, he is going to be an absolute problem.
8150-939. That's the number if you want to get in here. Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome in to Drive Buddy. What's up?
Hey, can y'all hear me? Hello? Hello?
Hey, Bob. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you all think the next commitment for Louisville is going to be? Is it going to be Traylor? I mean, that seems to be what it sounds like because he's visited with Louisville. And then I saw an interesting tweet earlier today from a Wesley Yates from Washington. And it was just several pictures of Louisville. And I would think that means he's visiting right now. Is that correct or confirmed? And is that guy pretty good? Didn't he play, if he was a Washington, didn't he play with our most recent recruit, Corin? But anyway, yeah, just a couple questions. This transfer portal is crazy to watch, I tell you what. But I'll leave it to you all to answer questions.
Appreciate it there, Bob. Yeah, look, Wes, it appears he's here right now. Just tweeted, I think, himself about 20 minutes or so ago, you know, on his visit, letting him try the uniforms on, all that stuff. He did not play at all, but he does know Corin Johnson quite well. He was a highly rated recruit. I think you'd be thrilled with somebody like that, for sure.
37th ranked prospect in ESPN's top 100. He did redshirt last year at Washington. To me, that's a great thing. I mean, that's even better than just picking up a freshman just straight out of high school. He's gotten a year to really work on himself, his game, his body. So I think Wesley Yates could be one of those, kind of talked about a little story with Steve Forbes and Hunter Salas and Efton Reed, Efton being kind of a throw-in in that deal. I'm not saying that in a negative way at all, but just right place, right time. Sometimes you can just find a great situation. And so if Wesley Yates was that big of a recruit, decides he wants to redshirt to, like I said, work on his body, work on his jump shot, whatever it is, and he used that year the right way, he could come in and really surprise you. So I think that's a great one to look at. And also, when you're evaluating these coaches, you see a lot of them that you kind of feel like they have an unlimited bankroll and they just go get the top-rated guys. That's not necessarily how you build the team. You know, I could name tons of examples, but even just looking at the Final Four, you see the transfer pieces on each of those rosters. Alabama, for example, was Hofstra, was Ohio, and North Dakota State were their three big pieces, right? NC State, DJ Byrne started at Tennessee but went to Winthrop. DJ Horn was Arizona State. O'Connell was Stanford, right? So it's so much about how you can gel the pieces together. And when you can find somebody like this who hasn't played any college minutes, maybe he embraces a role, great locker room guy, a workhorse, and he, you know, his skills, once he actually gets out there, maybe will surprise you. But I think getting a piece like this shows that they're kind of turning over every stone. I mean, if nothing else, you're looking at the Louisville staff and think, man, these guys are grinding.
And again, worth repeating here that Jaden Quaintance not going to meet with Mark Pope in Kentucky. And I know there seems to be some reporting, at least, that it's basically Louisville or Memphis for him. And Memphis is not suffering for financial support in this regard either. And look, Penny is an attractive candidate. I could understand Louisville's. Look, they can win. They could lose this one. But you want to talk about a boost? You want to talk about a real psychological morale boost? Ooh. This is it.
Yeah, and I you mentioned it earlier, but just being in the conversation, that's a great starting point, right? If it's, let's say you could choose Osabor or Acquaintance, like I'll take either one.
Yeah, win-win, right? Right?
A win-win. So yes. If you're getting down to kind of the final minutes here and – you know, it's up in the air with these two guys. If you get one of them, you're in great shape. If the 247 prediction comes to fruition and Chucky Hepburn shows up, okay, you've got a guard that can handle it, that will be able to get your offense going, that can score and do some different things. He's not like a prolific scorer, but you got a guy like that in Edwards. So I love the pieces to the puzzle. You pick up Chucky and one of the bigs, then you start to get in a position where, okay, you've got guys that can play all five spots. Who is the best player we can get to add depth, start to get our identity around our team? How much money do we have left? Then it's kind of picking and choosing where do you want to spend the dollars? Because if you pick up Chucky and you pick up one of these bigs, I don't know exactly where you would go, but to me, like, you can load up and try and get a John L. Davis or that type of player that's definitely going to send you over the top. If you get Chucky in one of the bigs, I mean, I think you get an A at that point, certainly.
Totally agree with that. Just a heads up to everybody, this breaking news to me, us, we're not out at 5. I didn't know that. Now I do. So we're going to go all the way up to 6, so we got plenty of time.
I hope I can make it with you because we had planned on 5 the whole time.
Same.
So I got to make a couple calls when we get the next break and try
we'll
to extend
do.
It out here, but... So baseball is postponed?
No, it's just going to be on 970.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go. Well, talking about this transfer portal environment, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm laughing because I don't know if you had a chance to listen yesterday, but we somehow veered into people's surprise at what Dave looks like versus what they think he sounds like. And so if you need me to explain this to you, I will. But the texter said, I just Googled Luke Hancock. Dude looks nothing like I thought. He sounds like a fat, hairy dude that smokes meats and cigars, which is how Dave described himself a million times yesterday.
Thank you.
And then people said that they thought he sounded like he looked like you.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I think I act like a guy who smokes cigars and smokes meat all day. Big fat guy.
It's a joke.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I wish I'd heard.
Well done, Texter.
Back there, yeah.
Very, it's a good callback to use a comedic term there.
I've definitely mixed Dave and Luke up time and time again.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, hey, Dave. Oh, no, it's Luke. Sorry.
Not the first time, not the last. Not the last for sure.
81-50-93-9. That's the number if you'd like to get in here. Let's get Chris in here next. Chris, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, buddy.
Defensive specialist.
How we doing?
Hey, Luke, you on here sounding like an old man.
I'll take that. I feel like an old man.
If anybody has a gripe about this, it would be you, a guy who had a set down a year just because your coach left, didn't live up to his commitment. Then when you wanted to leave, they made you set down a year. I don't feel bad for these universities. For a long time, they held these kids hostage. They didn't give them 4-year scholarships. They only gave them 1-year scholarships. And they were at the mercy of these schools, so I think it's all fair game. But with that said, I think I could fix NIL right now.
Here's
what you do. You got to have a buyout. These kids are coming to school, getting all this money. If another school wants them, their NIL has to buy out the NIL that they're previously in. That would help slow down the movement a little bit. The next thing you do, the money they get, it unlocks every year that they complete a year of school. So you're going to take a certain amount of the money, you're going to put it up. As they complete a year of school, then a little bit more unlocks, they get it. A little bit more unlocks when they graduate, they get their full amount. If they leave for the pros, that's cool. The NBA has a program that they'll pay for you to get your degree after you're done. The money sits there and waits for you, collects interest. But they have to do something to incentivize school again so this doesn't turn into semi-pro. So just lock the money up, give them 20%, and then put up the 80. And every year they complete, give them another 20%. If you want to leave schools, your NIL has to buy out the other one. That would help a lot. It's just what the coaches do. If the coaches leave, somebody has to buy them out. The money has to be exchanged. That way no one's shortchanged. But of all people, Luke, I thought you would be for these kids because you suffered this. You didn't get to go to a tournament because your coach left you, and then you got left with a bad situation. I thought you'd be 100% with these kids.
Well, I am. I just think if we're looking at the longevity of this whole thing, is it do the fans like it? Do the players like it? Do the coaches like it? I don't think very many people like the way it's going right now outside of probably the top 20 transfers that are able to just every year put their name in and see how much money they're worth. I just look
but
out
look
for
at all the,
go ahead.
Look at all the small schools before that. How much did they like it that every year that their coach got hot, got on a hot streak, he left them and went to a big school, and then they had to start all over year after year after year. I mean, it's been this way for a while, but now all of a sudden because the kids have freedom of movement, everybody's mad and everybody thinks that this is going to explode and this can't withstand. How many coaches has Buffalo had? How many coaches has Charleston had? I mean, every time one of those coaches get hot, they leave that university and everybody applauds that. And they're like, I'm so happy for this coach. He's getting a great opportunity. But when a kid does it, they're like, oh, my God, the whole system's going to explode. This just can't make it. I that's what I don't understand. It's good one way, but then it's not good the other way. I want to understand that, but I just can't. I'll get off and I'll listen to you guys.
Well, thank you very much for the call. A lot to unpack there. Don't get me wrong, man. You kind of just brought up my whole situation. How could I look at a player and think, man, he doesn't deserve to make money. He doesn't deserve to be able to transfer and have that freedom the way he wants. And then I look at just the product. You know, I'm an analyst now. I love college basketball. I feel very old school, even though I only played 10, 11 years ago. It feels like 100 years ago. I think the NCAA failed college basketball because they just tried so hard to not move the line with transfers and with compensation. You know, if they had said, all right, reasons that you can transfer your coach leaves being a perfect example of, okay, they need to have complete freedom of movement. Being able to make some money. If they had started and said, okay, you can work your university's team basketball camp for several weeks over the summer and make money, I don't think we'd be all the way here. Maybe they got to keep moving that line a little bit on the compensation side. But now, like, I don't like putting any restrictions on the players that we don't have for everybody else. Like, if coaches are allowed to leave when they want to, get a buyout, go make more money, players should be allowed to do that. However, I think everybody would agree that the commitment of getting to spring football at the beginning of spring and leaving at the end of spring before season even really gets going, that just doesn't sound like a great environment for anyone. You know, that's not going to help the players, which ultimately you still have to keep that front of mind. Like, these are young men and women, I mean, transfer portal for women's basketball, certainly, but you're trying to put them in a position where they're going to succeed in life at the same time. It's not just singularly focused on how much money can they make. So there's a lot of incentives out there that don't align with what's in the best interest of the kids. You know, talking about these agents and how much they're making on a percentage basis of what they bring in, there is conflicts there. So again, like, I don't want to restrict the players just because we like the old way of doing things. I brought up the example, like, if I'm the best piano player in the world and I'm 15 and I sell out, you know, football stadiums everywhere I go, no one's saying, that person shouldn't make that much money, right? They would go make as much as you can. But because of the just framework of college sports, we look at college athletes a little bit different. I don't really agree with that. I think it's going to be really tough to get regulation around the whole thing, even in terms of, like, the buyouts. Well, NIL doesn't just come from one spot. You know, you could get paid through a collective, but you could also go get a car deal, or you could go, you know, have your name on billboards for, I don't know, Planet Fitness or something like that, right? Maybe that's separate from a collective. Well, then your buyout situation doesn't really work. So how you put the toothpaste back in the tube in terms of regulating this whole thing, I think it's going to be really, really difficult to do. And Mark, you've talked about this before, but without collective bargaining, yeah, I think almost impossible.
Yeah, like, the NFL, we say, like, this is pro sports now, but it's not. It's really not, because the pros has negotiated protections for both sides of things. Nobody coaches three teams in 3 years without there being some sort of buyout protection or that sort of thing. And players can't just be like, I don't want to play for the Ravens anymore. I'm going to the Bucks. As much as I would love that. No one can do that. But they get certain guarantees for giving up certain amounts of freedom. Again, I'm just going to repeat what I said a little while ago. I don't know how you can expect people to come up off of money without any kind of protection for what they've given the money for, right? Like, you, if players out there, recruits, listen, if you want to be courted with this amount of money, people have to believe they can get something for this money. And the idea that you can just sort of drop in and just fly right back out of here and people are just going to continue to put the money up, it's not true. Enjoy it now. It won't stay.
How many years have we done NIL now, had these conversations?
3, 4?
Where would you say, like, your initial thought was with how much money kids were going to be making? You know, best players making $100,000?
Oh, well, the thing is, like, when it first sort of started, I never thought we were just going to be giving them money. Like, they told everybody, it was just, we're going to let them capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, but it was going to be like, I'm going to do these plumber ads, and I'm going to come to events and ribbon cuttings and birthday parties.
It sounds so funny to think about now, but I was in the same bucket of like, they're going to be able to go do kids' birthday parties.
Yep.
And make $1,000 for showing up. That's great. Now it's, wait, we have to do something for this money? I thought we were just getting paid. That's how like kids are being approached with the whole, oh, I have to do an autograph signing or I have to do a company event or something like that. Wait, we don't just get the money? They're like upset they have to do something for it.
And now they don't. And they have to show up now.
I said this very early on. Like, once you started to see, wait, these kids are going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars before they put the ball in the basket one time. I said, we are not very far away from these athletes being paid more than their coaches at the college level. And when you see a freshman like Quaintance come in and say $1.5 million. Now, I don't know if that comes to fruition. I have no idea. But I've heard from multiple sources now that's the type of dollars we're talking about. I can't imagine that's sustainable, but it also seems like you got to pay to play. You got to pay that kind of money to have a chance, and all these schools want a chance. Now, it may get you, you know, Musselman treatment where you have one bad year and the fan base and the boosters and everybody are so just disgusted with what you put out there, with having put a lot of dollars out to say you can buy whoever you want. You got a year of struggle and you're gone. Maybe that's the new environment. But I can't imagine us going the other direction, and how much it has multiplied in 3 years blows my mind. Where do you think it goes? Where do you think it stops?
It's extremely hard to say. Like, on the pro side, at least, like, you know, it's a percentage of revenue. With this, I have no idea. And I don't know that it necessarily will. I mean, it has to. It's somewhere, but I don't know. I don't know that we're at like critical mass here.
Again, if you look at it like it's an endorsement deal, there is no cap. Like, if you say, like, if you want to go to the cap space route, like the pros have, where it is a revenue percentage, then they got, like you said, it's got to be collective bargain, which who knows. But like endorsement deals, like you can't set a limit on endorsement deals, theoretically speaking.
No, like can't. LeBron makes more outside of basketball than he does in basketball. Sure. Right?
And Jordan always did too.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, I just can't see it going the other direction without basically the end of the NCAA and schools kind of collectively say, this is how our new framework is going to work and how we're going to pay student athletes. And they have some kind of scale that's already worked out. So if you come play in our league, you've already agreed to it. This is how it's going to go. I really don't see how you can put the regulations around it without something like that happening.
Let's get Shaq in here. Shaq, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
Hey. I agree, like, great discussion. I agree with a lot that's been said, and particular last call or whatnot. This discussion, I remember, like, one of my early, like, radio days. Like, I came up listening to the Cross-Diener show years ago, Chris Cross and Drew Diener. And ironically, the young guy, Drew Diener, he represented the conservative standpoint, you can't pay the players. But Chris Cross, he was like, man, you got to pay these guys, pay these guys. I've always been on that side. And even with this, because even back then, I was like, everybody was like, you can't figure this out. And it really kind of bothered me, the fact that there's no desire to figure it out. You know, there's no Because like Luke said, you touched on something. Years ago, I was like, man, this could be free. I was finance major. I couldn't come up with 10,000 ways you could figure it out. There was no desire. Because when people say, it doesn't affect me, when people say, oh, well, these people getting played, I don't look at college sports any different. Because what I look at it is the coaches are getting paid, say, close to $10 million or some of the good ones. 5 years ago, good coaches, $5 million. So many years ago, $1 million. Going all the way back to those making tens of thousands of dollars in the 60s and 70s. Through this whole process, the player's benefit was the same thing, the scholarship. So it falls flat on me when you say, when people say amateur sports and look bad on players, when the only thing that's amateur pay-wise is the players when everybody's getting paid crazy. So I think the answer is, you know, which the NCAA, they didn't wait to get smacked down by the courts, could come up with a lot of stuff. I think, like, this model, and y'all said something a while ago, there's kind of different sets of money. There's, like, at least in my mind, there's money coming from the school, hey, I guess, to pay. Then there's actually true NIL name, image, likeness from, like, advertising. That stuff you can't control. That's just stuff like, hey, if you come here, this is what you could get. But that's, like, players' individual hustles and people want to do. But I think there's going to be, even with that, the market will correct itself. Like with model, like NCAA or whoever can offer like model contracts from, or just industry standards. So like, hey, for college kids, you sign to play. And like the guy said, maybe you get so much up front, so much later. But like to put the toothpaste in the bottle, I think it's hard. Cause I always thought like the last caller said, like guaranteed, you get 4-year contract. In fact, I was thinking guaranteed education for life. Everybody's like, "Oh, tuition's so high." How much higher is it compared to this? How much higher is when Jimbo Fisher and all these high coaches are getting like $5, $6, $7, $8 million?
So $100 million, you can put, Jimbo.
There you go. How many players can eat? They're talking about how crazy these players are. How many? If you take like the top 10 coaches, how many of even the highest paid players can you get? And just kind of one last thing, one thing that was talked about, like reason we couldn't do or pay the players was, how are you going to get the lower-end players in the Olympic sports? If you look at it, these Olympic sports, like because they got hustled, like the gymnast, Olympic Dune or whatever name is, LSU, hustled, one of the highest paid LSU NIL yep. people. And some of these other folks, creative. So all these reasons, it's kind of like with COVID. When COVID happened, well, you can't work from home. Guess what? You can work from home. Like, it just showed that the emphasis, no, people didn't want to do it. If people put in the work early to solve it, this wouldn't be, even with the transfer, this wouldn't be this way. We say student athletes. I always go my way. My thing is, could a student do this? Could a student go out and hustle and make money? Yeah. Would there be limits? Not a degree. I mean, not really, unless it went against some proprietary information. Could a student just transfer universities? Yeah, if they had a good grades. So I think it's going to have to be like a model contract, what people do, just industry wide or whatever else, and just like students just showing that the grass is not greener on the other side, and it'll correct itself. But just some of the rhetoric, I think about like, oh, this is dampening the sport, or these are bad. The college players are limited. The universities didn't act. The adults hid behind. Amateur sports, and like, hey, we can't do this when everybody else is pros besides the athletes. Mm-hmm. But appreciate it, guys.
Bye. Appreciate the call there. Thank you. No question that the college sports got away with making it professional for everyone but the players for a really long time.
My academic advisor had like $100,000 bonus for us winning a national championship. And all I'm thinking about is, if I overdraft my account again, that's a $35 fee. Doesn't seem right to me. That's a great call. We'll unpack it more on the other side.
All right. One more hour to go here on The Drive on FM. We'll be right back.